Real estate.
Yeah.
Homes, apartments, whatever they may be. If they've been lived in, chances are there's some sort of energy there. Doesn't mean it's negative, haunted, bad, evil, good, whatever. But, you know, lived in. Like everybody can sense that. There's a difference in feeling between a house that is brand new and one that has been lived in. Not just aesthetically, but there's an energy about it. Almost like it takes a little bit of time for the old energy to wear off and the new energy to wear in. Like marking your own territory, if you will. I notice that when I've moved into new houses or houses that have been previously lived in, there's a difference. And it takes a little bit of time sometimes. Sometimes it's very quick. Sometimes, all right, I got the new energy in there and it's feeling good and different. Sometimes it just never quite feels right. It feels like something else is holding on the property. Today, we have two stories about families moving into new pieces of property. Some old, some new. And the strange things that go on in those homes. One, possibly something evil that took the life of a previous resident in a horrific fire. And then, family moves into a home that was in the family, where a beloved family member passed away. But does that family member want to help or harm those new residents? Those stories and more today in EPP bonus episode number 404 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Getting a new home is an adventure. It is, no matter what. Maybe it's already 100% ready to go. You don't need to do anything. Just move your stuff in and enjoy. Sometimes you get a fixer-upper. Sometimes it's an old house with a lot of character, stories attached to it. Stories that you may not necessarily know, and sometimes stories that you may not necessarily even want to know. But sometimes you find them out anyhow. Thus is a situation for our first story today. Family moves into a bit of a fixer-upper, very old home. They want to do some renovations, make the place theirs, knock down some walls. And as they begin to talk to the neighbors, they learn about strange happenings at the house, including a man who burned to death within the walls of their new happy home. How did this happen? Why did this happen? That still remains a mystery. But did something evil or dark play a hand in killing that man? And could that very something that's evil or dark have plans for the new residents of that very home? That's what we find out. Take a listen. Hi, my name is Jess, and I'm a longtime listener, first-time writer. Love the show. Spend the first few minutes before I leave work to find a lengthy podcast to listen to on my way home. I have an hour-long commute, and you are constantly telling some amazing stories. I feel it's about time I share mine. I grew up in Lowell, Massachusetts, which was an unfortunate victim of the crack and heroin epidemics and left many people homeless and committing petty crimes, such as burglary and trespassing. I share that part because I want it clear. We did not believe everything that happened was paranormal. In fact, the majority of our experiences started off as a belief that in invited guest had entered the house. My parents were in their late 20s when they bought this house. They moved us in the spring of 98. My mother said that the house had strange feelings when they did the walkthrough, but the excitement of getting into our own home was much greater. All the walls were covered in 70s wallpaper. The front hall had blood red patterned wallpaper, and the third floor had horse hair plaster. There were cigarette smoke stains all over the ceilings. Every door frame had a door. In total, there were 13 doors in the house. This house really gave us the creeps, but for 80 grand, you couldn't beat that deal. My sister and I got the 2 third-floor bedrooms. My brother and parents got the 2 second-floor bedrooms. And every night, my sister and I would brush our teeth and then run up the stairs into our corresponding rooms and into our beds. I put Mariah Carey or Celine Dion on in my Walkman and sing along while my sister would grumble, criticize my fabulous performance. However, we were in bed. About 15 minutes after we were upstairs, my father would come to the base of the stairs, scold us for roughhousing. "Stop jumping around and go to bed." Out of confusion, my sister and I would always meet at our doors and inform him we were not wrestling, but we were never believed. My parents ran their own business out of the home and left my mother home all day. She'd swear someone would call her name from all ends of the house. Keep in mind, we did have 2 in-law apartments, one above the other. We did not use the apartments when we first moved in, though. My mother would search the house, even check the empty apartments, to find no one. We had this old Greek neighbor. He lived in the community for decades and approached my father one day and asked, "Anything strange happened to you in that house?" My father said no. Then he elaborated, "Years ago, a man was in a fire, trapped in that house. Everyone came running, trying to help him. We all rushed the door, but something pushed the door closed on us. That man died in there." My father was shocked. He shared that creepy story with us during dinner. That led us to finding out a really creepy story from the Lowell Fire Department. My father called and asked about the fire at our place in 1986. The chief informed my father that he was unable to disclose any information as it was an active investigation. Since this was a 13-year-old fire, why would this still be under investigation? According to the records, I have no recollection of where this came from. When the fire department put the fire out and searched the home, the second-floor bedroom, it was my parents' room, directly above the living room, was completely burned. The ceiling, bed, dressers, walls, only one thing did not burn. A single black candle. The dresser the candle sat on was completely charred, but the candle remained solid. According to the legend, the fire department still has this candle. The year my parents wanted to renovate and expand the kitchen and bathrooms, we used a second floor apartment, as my Uncle David had moved into the first floor apartment. We created a door that we used to access the kitchen and bathroom. My parents went to City Hall to get the permits. City clerk kept implying that the addition we wanted to add would take up the rest of the property lot, and my parents laughed and said, "There's more than enough room." The clerk showed the city plans to my parents, and there on the document was a fourth part of the house, which was not there anymore. My parents explained that the house only has 3 segments and that the fourth one didn't exist anymore. When they started renovating, they discovered a room between the first floor apartment and the main house, as well as an old kiln. My mother said she felt a cold blast when they removed the wall and begged my father to tear it down as fast as he could. My uncle said the night the room was removed, he swore there was someone standing in his bathroom. He continued to see this figure until he moved out. One night, my parents had a few friends over for drinks. When they were in the dining room, my Uncle Roland stopped talking in conversation and rushed into the living room and then searched the rest of the house. He swore he saw someone staring at him from around the doorframe. Just the person's head and hands. The problem was that there was a 90 stereo, 3 feet wide, 2 inches from the door, which means a person's body would have been visible from the angle my uncle saw them standing, and he didn't see a body. My mother woke up one night and found my brother, 6 at the time, lying at the foot of her bedroom door. She woke him up and he was petrified. Later he told her that he woke up in the middle of the night to a little boy calling him to come to the hallway. The stairwell was visible from my brother's bed. He said that the boy sat with 1 foot on top of the stair and 1 next one down. My brother said the boy didn't speak out loud, but in his head, When he would call my brother, he would extend his finger and pull it back towards him. My brother said his finger would get longer and longer. He was so scared and terrified. He said he mustered up the courage to go to me and my sister's room. But the door at the base of the stairs was closed and would not open. He said he was standing there screaming, banging on the door. However, no one could hear him. He said he ran towards my parents' door, screaming, banging, and again, no one answered the door. He said the little boy's finger was touching his back, so he wouldn't turn around and didn't move and cried himself to sleep. When I went to college, my parents decided to renovate the attic, creating an entertainment room. During renovations, they removed the center wall, utilizing all four rooms, removed the floor, removed the staircase to build a new, wider set. My parents told us that at night, they'd hear the same running across the room that they heard when my sister and I were up there, but there's not a floor. Several other events happened. I could keep telling you all the weird little things, but that would take hours and hours. I want to share the scariest things that happened to me. After college in 2009, I moved into the in-law apartment and had a small New Year's Eve party. My one-year-old son was sleeping in my bedroom, so it wasn't a crazy party. We had a few drinks while he slept. It was about 2 a.m. My boyfriend at the time and I were helping my friend who had quite a few drinks into a cab. We tried, then we got locked out. Tried to get back into the house via the unlocked window or loosen the lock, but nothing worked. I finally knocked on my parents' side and asked for the spare key. My father dreamed of being a janitor. That's what I assume, since he amassed an unnecessary number of spare keys. He had to have 1,000 keys. At least one of them had to open that door. After we knocked, getting a very upset dad to help, we went and stood on the back porch, trying to wiggle the door open. After about 25 minutes, I was about to break one of the glass panes in the door. Just as I went to swing, my father came walking through my apartment. He found a key, I thought. However, he clearly wasn't as happy as I was about this. He looked really mad and just let me in and left. The next day, I went over there, and he sincerely asked me if I let anyone in upstairs. Side note, I had a tendency to let my friends stay at our house when they needed a place to stay, completely against my parents' wishes. I did not let him know, which he explained to me, that after failing to find the key, he decided that he was going to break in the access door. After the renovations were completed, we rented out the second floor apartment to Uncle Roland. And to ensure him some privacy, we put a side lock on the interior of the apartment, i.e. break in the access door. He said as he reared up to break the door with his shoulder, he heard a metal of the slide move and then click. The knob turned and the door opened. He said he stopped, assuming that there could be someone in there. That is where we're going to pause this week's preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 404 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest, find out what happens with this family. Is it dark? Is it evil? Or do they have a lovely sit-down picnic and everybody's happy at the end of the day? Then become an EPP, an extra podcast person, at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories or search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. Check it out. patreon.com/realghoststories or Real Ghost Stories Online. Search it on the Patreon app or go to ghostpodcast.com and click the link right there. Get access to all of this episode, all 404 bonus episodes, all of our advanced episodes, all of the archive of episodes. It is all there for you to binge away on right now. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.